Something that I don't know.
Back with more of Lake Effect on WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tine.
And I'm Bonnie North. When you listen to Milton, Wisconsin native Kat Reinert, you can hear lots of influences in her music. She's a jazz singer and songwriter, but often her lyrics feel more like they belong in pop songs, and she began her musical career as a classical singer.
Reinert's second album, Spark, comes out tomorrow, and the songs on it are thoughtful, lyrical, and yes, they swing when it is right for them to do so.
Reinert was back in her home state recently, and she stopped by the studio to chat with us. Kat, welcome to Lake Effect. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
How did you get interested in jazz? How did you get interested in writing in this form and in singing in this style?
When I was a kid, my dad actually tried to get me to listen to jazz music, and I hated it. I absolutely hated it. And then I went to Lawrence University in Appleton here in Wisconsin and was a classical voice major and didn't love it and discovered jazz as a possibility for something else to do and fell in love with it and applied to the Manhattan School of Music in New York City, got in, and I never looked back.
Yeah, I was going to say the rest is history.
Yeah.
What was it about jazz do you think that you didn't like when you were younger?
Most of what I was exposed to was contemporary soft rock, and so I think the sounds and all of the dissonant harmonies that I wasn't used to, I didn't get it. Like, it didn't make any sense to me. And so the more I learned about music and the more I got exposed to different sounds, the more in love I fell with all of the dissonance, which I thought was amazing.
The thing is with jazz and jazz singers, I mean, that's where women have shown for so long. There's just some amazing voices out there, amazing musicians who basically define the genre.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. Who do you like to listen to?
My favorite is Cassandra Wilson. I find her just different, and the stuff that she explores is really interesting to me. Harry Connick Jr. is a favorite of mine, as is Nina Simone. All of the, of course, Ella, Sarah, and Billy. I mean, you can't be a jazz singer without listening to immense amounts of their music. And currently, Kate McGarry is probably my favorite on the jazz scene.
One of the things you do, too, though, that is different from a lot of the singers that you mentioned is you write your own music.
Yes.
And so as a songwriter and a jazz songwriter, I mean, we tend to think of jazz being written by the Tin Pan Alley because it's those guys, it's all those standards that have kind of come along, the Harold Arlens and the George Gershwins and those kinds of people. So when you sit down to write a tune now, where are you drawing from? Where do you start?
I start a lot with things that I've listened to outside of jazz, often like drawing on songwriters, Joni Mitchell, David Crosby, James Taylor, Carole King. And I've done a lot of reading on lyric writing and a lot of studying on lyric crafting and crafting of lyrics themselves. Looking at the Tin Pan Alley as a basis for some of that, but also, I mean, it depends. Sometimes I get inspiration from my daily life, just looking at things. Oh, that's interesting. What might that person be thinking? And you start to write a song about it. Sometimes it's like a diary. That's where I put my emotions into. And some of them are horrible and you just put them away. And the other ones are like, oh, this is cool. I'm going to keep working on this one.
The thing about the album as I was listening to it is that I can hear, you mentioned James Taylor, and there were a couple of songs where I absolutely was like, oh, yeah, I can hear that, both in the way you sang it, but also in the way the lyric worked, the way the chord structure worked. But you're also kind of very much in the tradition, too. And I like that mix. And it's a very kind of standard jazz combo that you have, this really delicious bass solos in some of those songs, as well as other guitar solos and, you know, keyboard and that sort of thing. So the kind of things that I think people think of for jazz where you're trading back and forth, you know, everybody takes a chorus and everybody has a little bit of an improv thing. You're very much in there.
Oh, very much so. I feel that it's a way for me to explore what jazz is. And I've always wanted to have extended solos. And a huge part of the way that I conceptualize music is to include the players with whom I'm playing. I mean, the people on the record I've been making music with for about 3 or 4 years, pretty consistently. I mean, they tour with other people, so they're not always available, but there's a massive amount of consistency in writing. And a lot of the music that I wrote, when I went to arrange it, I actually had them in mind, which is a fascinating way to arrange music, because you say, oh, Perry could play that. That'd be awesome. And Ross would come up with something really amazing for this if I just sort of say this. And writing and arranging with that kind of thing in your mind, that's very individual to the people that are making it. You know, I go in with, I mean, it's a lead sheet, essentially. And sometimes some motivic ideas for in between sections or at the beginning or the end. But largely, it's largely improvised. There aren't a lot of written out things. If there are hits that happen, it's usually because they happened. And as we've been playing over the last few years, they just became part of the music. So
right, yeah. Right. But you don't have charts going in.
I do have charts for everything, but it's not like play these notes exactly where, like on beat 3 for
right.
the bass player. It's here's a lead sheet that has chords and some hits and sometimes the melody if I am motivated enough to transcribe what I'm actually singing.
But it sounds like they don't need that. They don't need it to be transcribed to be able to
do it. No, they've even told me. They're like, it's too much, Kat. Just like less.
Let's hear something
okay.
from the album. The album is called Spark. What would you like to share with us?
How about we start with Walk Into the Rain?
Your love was like water falling down like the rain, pouring into all the spaces that I tried to hide from the pain. Your love was like tomorrow, no need to explain. Well, now we've said goodbye, so I know that I've just gotta walk into the rain. Yeah, now we've said goodbye, so I know that I've just gotta walk into the rain. And your love was like a present to open each day, with the wonder of a child and the gratitude and the play. Your love was like a coffee on a brisk October stay. Well, now we've said goodbye, so I know that I've just gotta walk into the rain. Yeah, now we've said goodbye, so I know that I've just gotta walk into the rain. But the rain isn't sad, it's just clearing space for our hearts to be seen on the road to find so that we can be free to love and walk into the rain, walk into the rain.
That's Kat Reinert with Walk Into the Rain. It's the lead track off her brand new album, Spark. Kat is sitting in the studio after about 3 hours of sleep, traveling back to Wisconsin. You're originally from Milton, right?
I am originally from Milton, yes.
Yeah, and as you said before, you went to Lawrence. What's the jazz scene like here? How much did that influence what you did once you got to New York?
The only experience I had with the jazz scene in Wisconsin before I moved to New York was at Lawrence, in terms of just people that I was playing with, and I never had made music with other people outside of school. So when I moved to New York, it was a whole different ballgame.
Brand new thing.
Very much.
Yeah. How is the jazz scene in New York?
It's a very supportive, very cooperative environment. It's interesting. I've found it to be a place where people want you to succeed. Like, the musicians that are on the scene, and there's different circles that kind of run. And from what I can tell, they're kind of age-related circles, because we've come to school, and then you come out, and you're kind of with a cohort of people. But the longer you stay in New York, the more those circles get blurred, and you end up, you know, with a 30, 40 year range of people that you're playing with in terms of ages. And super supportive, wanting everybody to succeed, wanting all the music to be good no matter what. I mean, if you're playing at a restaurant, or you're playing in a bar, or you're playing on a big stage, people want it to be good. They don't want to show up and not have it be something you want to listen to.
How do you find touring out in the rest of the country? Are people interested in jazz still?
They are. I haven't done a massive amount of it. The two tours that I have done were both here, actually, in the Midwest. And I did a fair amount of house concerts, which is a huge favorite thing of mine to do because you get to meet people and tell them your stories and hear their stories. And sometimes they inspire songs that you might write, or you get to just, it's very close and they're very appreciative. They want to listen, which I find is one of the best things about giving them. And then I played in South Bend, Indiana. We played at an arts center there, and that was really amazing to have that feedback from them, and in Chicago as well. They're very receptive. I think what I'm trying to put out into the world isn't always what people are expecting when they hear a jazz singer. So it's interesting to have people's opinions afterwards. They're like, wow, this is so different.
Are they liking it? Are they able to take it in, even though it's not something that they expected to hear?
Yeah, I mean, overall, I would say that the response is extremely positive. It's like, this is not what I expected, but it was so cool. Like, thank you for singing these songs or writing these lyrics. Like, that one really made me think, or that one really touched me. I love that you're incorporating all these elements. Like, I know it's jazz, but it was much easier for me to understand, or because it didn't just swing through the whole time, or, you know, there are different feels for things. And it's been really nice to have that.
Well, let's hear something else from the brand new album, Spark. What else would you like to share with us?
How about Spark, the lead track?
I wear my heart on my sleeve. You picked it up, put it right where small insignificant at first. I couldn't quite believe the truth is staring right at me. I stepped into your joy and found my voice awake alive in front of me. 'Cause at last I trusted, at last I listened, at last I found you were here for me. Yeah, at last I trusted.
That's Kat Reinert with the title track off her new album, Spark. Kat is sitting here in the studio chatting with me about jazz and about the album and about making music and music in general. And I guess one of the things that I'm always curious about when I talk to a lot of musicians, and I really enjoy having these conversations, how do you find the business these days? No matter what genre you're in, we keep hearing about how it's changed so much. The digital age has shifted everything. Are people still willing to come out and hear live musicians play music?
I think more than anything, they want to hear live music. They want to hear and experience it. But I think maybe in a different way than you or I grew up with, like, they want to know the people. They want to know them through social media and then go see their shows and be familiar with their music, like to a point where they could sing all the lyrics to all of your songs and they go out and hear it so they can have that experience. I work with a lot of younger musicians, and it's so fascinating to watch them consume music. Their MP3 players are always filled thousands and thousands of songs from thousands of artists, and not always albums. It's like two songs from this artist, two songs from this artist. It doesn't matter what genre it is. It's just like, we like it. And they want to go hear live music. They don't always have the money to go hear it, I think, which is part of, you know, the business is challenging sometimes because clubs don't always want to pay musicians. And that's frustrating. Most people that I know have at least a master's degree in music and they're playing in clubs for nothing, mostly because people don't realize that they're doing it for nothing. And they're like, there's a tip jar. I'm like, yeah, but that's what they're getting paid.
Right. That's not the salary.
No, yeah. Like that's what they're making is whatever you put in there. And you just put a dollar for five people that are playing for 2 hours. Sometimes mind-boggling, but I don't know any musicians that really got into music because they wanted to make money, tons of it. You know, that's a byproduct of working really hard and believing.
And a lot of luck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And being prepared for that, those circumstances that come up.
I know you do teach. You mentioned you work with a lot of young musicians. that kind of enthusiasm that you described, and that kind of pan enthusiasm where, you know, they're not limited to like, oh, I only listen to hard rock, or I only listen to classical, or I only listen to whatever. Does that feed into your own writing? Does that kind of exposure to that kind of enthusiasm, you know, filter through your music?
Definitely. It's fun to have my students say, hey, Kat, you got to check out this new band. And I'm like, okay. And I'll write it down and go buy their album. I still buy albums for all of the people that, like, they tell me. So I have, like, tons and tons of music. It's been awesome. I feel that if I'm working with a student and they're interested in a different kind of music that I'm not familiar with, if I don't listen to it, that doesn't make me a very good teacher, because I can't understand what their perspective is. I just say, well, that's whatever. That's probably not true. They're probably listening to it for a reason, and it's going to affect how they sound and how I relate to them. So it helps me to check it out. And I found some really cool stuff that I'm like, wow, this is awesome.
Give me an example.
Hiatus Coyote. I don't know if you've heard of them.
I haven't. Now I have to put that on my list.
They're amazing.
Writing it down right
yes.
now.
Yes. Ariana Grande, some of her stuff is, I mean, it's really interesting what she's doing just vocally, even though there's a lot of, you know, compression and all sorts of effects on it, but it's still a fascinating look at, like, what you can do in a studio. Neat bands that you wouldn't necessarily discover if you weren't tapped into some of that.
Yeah, and of course, there's so
huge.
Much out there. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's one of my big despairing moments is when I realize I'm never going to be able to hear everything.
Yeah, I know.
You just can't do
it's
it.
It's like, I can't do it. Like, give me one, just one artist that you think you'd like me to listen to.
Right, because there's just not enough time in the known universe to hear all the good music that's out there.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
true.
Well, Kat Reinert, when are you back here to actually perform?
I'm not sure. Probably either in the winter or next summer. So that's kind of what I'm looking at, because I'm currently in Miami getting my PhD. So
congratulations on that.
Thank you. But there are time limitations on when I can actually be away for long enough.
Right. You have to finish the dissertation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly. Well, when you do come back, bring the band. Would love to have you in the performance studio.
Oh, that would be amazing. We would love to do that.
So it's a date.
Okay.
Whenever it happens, you just be in touch. Well, Kat Reinert, it has been such a pleasure. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Naked is a lonely place, and naked is forever grace. Humble and human, I found peace. Silky sheets, if you please.
Jazz singer, songwriter, and arranger Kat Reinert's new album is called Spark. It's available tomorrow. The Wisconsin native makes her home in New York City now, but she was back in the state for a family visit when she stopped by to talk with us. There is a link to more information about her and her music at WUWM.com. And Kat Reinert takes us out today with a tune from that new album. It's called Naked. Thanks so much for spending some of your morning with us. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Thank you so much for tuning in general. And I hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee.
Stick around. Fresh air comes your way next. It's 11 o'clock.
Naked with unknown possibility and naked. With palladium mystery, a refuge away behind an army of me. Unstoppable, undeniable nudity. Thank you. piece, silky sheets, if you please. Naked is before your eyes, and naked is my secret disguise. 007 past 10, rising up, I'm about to begin and take what I create, master my resolve, spinning with calm, insistent joy, alone I am whole, serene and naked, with unknown possibility and naked, with palladium mystery, a refuge away behind an army of me, unstoppable, undeniable.